We're joined now by the New Orleans Saints Executive Vice President and General Manager, Mickey Loomis. Mickey, Merry Christmas to you, buddy, and thanks for being with us.
Merry Christmas to you guys and all the listeners and all of our great fans out there. Well, look, it's already Merry Christmas right after yesterday's result.
One of the things, Mickey, and we just kind of alluded to it, it was a good segue, but I said, I don't know, I think I was still playing. I think there was a couple of changes that were made 2 years ago now on the defensive side of the ball in the actual staff, in the coaches' offices. Ryan Nielsen comes in, Aaron Glenn as a defensive backs coach, and then Mike Nolan coming in to coach linebackers. And I think Dennis Allen and his staff have done an incredible job with the guys that they've got and developing talent within the building. I know that process for you guys was difficult because there's a lot of friends in that group. Obviously, Joe Vitt, who was with the Saints for a long time and moving on from him. And I know those things were tough, but those were decisions you guys made that have paid huge dividends.
Yeah, I think that, look, our coaches on defense and offense as well, special teams, man, they've done a fantastic job this year of putting guys in positions to make plays and to have success. And, man, they work hard at it. They're there, you know, sometimes till 2 or 3 in the morning at night. You know, some of the things that you know, fans don't see and sometimes players don't see is how hard and how much effort they put into a game plan each week. And look, it's certainly gratifying to see the results of that.
Now, Mickey, you know you want to win in all phases, offense, defense, and special teams. I think right now, and I think you might agree with this, that we are amongst the best of the best, that being kicker Will Lutz, who's now made 26 consecutive field goals, moving past the great Dane Martin Anderson with the longest streak of consecutive field goals in club history. And then how about Thomas Morstead? He averages 47 yards. He has that long 56-yarder ruled out of the 3-yard line. He had to re-kick that. And then I just look at, you know, we making a difference. They go for it on fourth down. Chris Banjo, who you invested a lot of money in. Look at Craig Robertson, a significant tackle. And then I look at a guy like Justin Hardy. Talk about a guy that plays with passion. I think he's a Pro Bowl-type player that maybe didn't get recognized, but he's that special on special teams.
Yeah, look, it's a good point. Look, that starts with our head coach, Sean Payton, who puts a lot of emphasis on performing well in special teams. And look, we're always talking about players who can contribute on special teams. And you know, we've been able to find them in various places. You know, you mentioned Justin Hardy, who was on another team's camp roster. And we were able to pick him up a year ago. And then Chris Banjo, who had a lot of success in Green Bay. Craig Robertson from Cleveland. You know, those guys, Banjo and Craig Robertson, are you know, captain-type players that, you know, have performed really well, both in terms of what their work on special teams, obviously, but also in roles on our defense. So we've got good specialists. You know, Thomas Morstead has been one of the top punters in our league for a long time now. And Will Lutz has had a fantastic season. He had a good season a year ago, and he's built on that, obviously, this year, and is a Pro Bowl caliber kicker for us. So we're excited about that. I think, you know, the coaches, Kevin and Brad and Mike Westhoff, have done a fantastic job on in that phase of the game as well.
Now, Mickey, you look at the receiving core, and obviously Drew Brees is going to spread the wealth, 8, 9, 10, 11 different receivers. But you look at Michael Thomas, targeted 13 times. He has 11 receptions, 109 yards. But I thought it was significant. And by the way, Michael Thomas exceeded his career high of 115 franchise record total. So he's able to step up and meet the challenge. I thought it was significant to maybe be a positive influence going forward as far as to show how you get it done whether it might be Tre'Quan Smith, Keith Kirkwood, to have Ted Ginn Jr. available. I thought he was unbelievable. 5 catches, 74 yards, and a crucial fourth quarter 25-yard reception on 3rd and 20. I thought Ted Ginn was a perfect example of a pro's pro to show how the young guys what it takes to get it done.
Yeah, I looked at, you know, Teddy, since he's been with us a year ago and this year, you know, early in the season, has made some big plays for us. And it was no surprise that you know, he came in after that long layoff for, you know, while he was rehabbing his injury and having 5 catches and 74 yards and a couple of critical catches in critical situations. He's you know, obviously a pro's pro, and he gives a lot of leadership to that group, and it's a good group. We've got, you know, a good mix of young guys and some accomplished players. You know, you mentioned Mike Thomas, and you know, his season speaks for itself.
Right.
But you know, Teddy gave us a good boost yesterday, and man, I don't know that we'd have won the game without him.
Saints Executive Vice President and General Manager Mickey Loomis. Mickey, hang with us for a quick break here, and you do the same back at home. You're listening to the Saints Coaches Show here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Welcome back to the Saints Coaches Show here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. We're joined by Saints Executive Vice President and General Manager Mickey Loomis. Mickey, there was a part of the game yesterday, I don't know, it kind of bothers me. I just want to hear your opinion on it, but it's the first game this season that the Saints have won when we've run the ball less than 20 times. There was technically 19 carries yesterday, but really 18, the final one being the best play in football victory on a Drew Brees kneel. But early on in that game, they ran the ball really effectively and kind of got away from it. And I'm just curious your thoughts on the importance as we get ready for the playoffs on not letting ourselves get into that situation where we've pretty much abandoned the running game.
Well, I don't know that I would call it abandon the running game. Listen, you know, we've gone into every game this year with intent on establishing the run. And I think Sean, the offensive coaches, have done a great job of game planning and sticking with those plans as we go. Sometimes the game dictates what you do. And I think a couple things here. Look, these are two good. There were two good teams against the run yesterday. They were doing a good job. I think we did have 19 carries, but I think it was about 3 yards a carry,
right?
You know, which is under the average we've had during the course of the year. And they had, I think they had 18. I think it was
right.
18 carries and 65 yards. We had 57 yards. So it was tough sledding for both teams to run the football. But you know, remember this too. We had a lot of interchangeable parts going on with that offensive line yesterday. You know, Andres Pete, you know, going from left guard to right tackle to left tackle. Will Clapp coming in. So we had some things going on there that you know, dictate, you know, how you play the game. And then in the course of the second half, getting behind and you know, they had a couple long possessions. You know, I think they won the time of possession battle, which we haven't lost very often this
right.
year. And so it was just, I think it was more just the way the game was played and how that game got dictated determined the amount of runs that ended up in the game.
Now, Mickey, explain to the fans, listen, the last game, we got the number one seed. You can't benefit your position. But a lot of fans, and I have to tell them over and over again, oh, they say, well, we're just going to play our second string. And I looked the way the NFL was structured, there's no second string. Because of limited roster spots, who you sitting, it could be a handful of players. So just, explain to the fans that also could be a challenge going into the last game. Because you playing, obviously, to be a professional and to win and who you sitting and who you playing. But it's not like you're in training camp. I don't know, you have a 75, 90-man roster, and I think it'd be interesting to see what's going to happen in the future with the collective bargaining agreement. I think Sean's all for this, and maybe we could even get a 60-man roster and maybe all players being available. I think it'd be better football, but to say you could just sit down players to get ready for the playoffs, there's not enough players who's actually on the team for that to happen.
Yeah, I think there's a couple points here. You know, first of all, you know, I think Sean said this today. We're going to approach this week and this game like it's a normal regular season week. And so that's first and foremost. You know, part of that is, look, you want to go into the postseason playing your best football. And so all that becomes a factor. And then you just said, you know, a really important point is that we have a 53-man roster. And by the way, it's 47 on game day.
Right.
46 on game day, excuse me. And so it's not like, you know, it's not like an LSU game or an Alabama
right.
game where you have, you know, 90 guys on the sideline. We just don't have that available to us. So, you know, we have limited rosters yes, this game doesn't affect our position in the playoffs, and yet there's some other factors. And so we'll see how the week goes, and we'll play accordingly. But listen, we want to go and come into this game with Carolina, and we want to win it.
Now, Mickey, looking at it, I thought was significant is that somehow, even as talented as the Steelers are, and I think there's a correlation here, is that we plus 9 for the season, and Pittsburgh is minus 10. We were plus 1 for the game. And when I look at Pittsburgh and how talented they are, I mean, it's amazing to me the parity and that turnovers do make a difference. Whether you're causing turnovers or you're protecting the football, but I think when I look at the Steelers' record overall, they're like 8-6-1 right now, and all of a sudden we're 13-2. Is that how you protect the football and how you take it away?
Yeah, you know, I think history has shown us that turnover takeaway margin is like the most important factor in winning games in the NFL, because you've already said it, the margins are so narrow. The differences between teams are so thin. And giving up a possession, particularly a possession where you're giving up the ball and you're into the field, man, that can be fatal. And you know, I think Pittsburgh's, I haven't seen all their games, but they've probably experienced a lot of that because they've lost a lot of close games. And
right.
And conversely, we've won some close games. So I would say more often than not, the turnover takeaway margin is going to give you a significantly better chance to win.
Mickey, when you take a look at the playoffs, obviously now having secured your seed, I know you guys start to look ahead a little bit, but there's two teams in there. There's the Bears and the Seahawks that the Saints have not faced this year. How early will you guys start taking a look and breaking down possible opponents that you may see during the playoffs?
Yeah, I mean, that's already started, and that'll continue, you know, this coming weekend, and obviously wildcard weekend, our pro department will do their advance work, and obviously our coaching staff, they'll delve into, you know, breaking down the upcoming opponent, whoever that might be, you know, as we go forward. So that's it's already started. And look, we have a head start on a couple teams that we've played, just as they've had a head start on us. And so there's a couple, you mentioned them, that we haven't played this year, and so that process has already started.
So when the schedule comes out at the beginning of the year and you say, man, we got to play Carolina two of the last three games, and that looks awfully tough, and now it's almost an advantage for you guys facing a team that we do know so well and a team that we've just played, probably reduces the amount of work that you and your staff have to do this week.
And you know, Mickey, I wanted to ad-lib on that. I'm going to tell you, you know who's a warrior? Christian McCaffrey. They're not playing for anything. I'm looking at what he did. 21 rush, 101 yards. He had 12 receptions for 77. That guy has lived up to expectations considering his draft status.
Yeah, look, they have some warriors on that team and some guys that we have a lot of respect for, including their head coach, Ron Rivera. They'll come in here and they'll be playing hard. They'll be doing everything they can to win. They had some tough luck with injuries. But look, we're gonna get a divisional, you know, game, and we'll get their best. We know that, and you're right. You know, Christian McCaffrey's had a fantastic season. You know, Luke Kuechly's had a great season again, and so we expect their best.
Saints general manager Mickey Loomis will stay with us. You do the same. You're listening to the Saints Coaches Show here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Welcome back to the Saints Coaches Show. Zach and Bobby here with Saints Executive Vice President and General Manager Mickey Loomis. Mickey, obviously, and we talked about it earlier briefly, but a lot of injuries going on with the offensive line. Obviously, Teron Armstead re-injuring that pec last night. Ryan Ramczyk missed a little bit of time. We saw Larry Warford getting some heat on his knee in between series. It just seems the group is really beat up, and I know they were really the driving force early in the season on the success of this offense. Is getting those guys healthy what's most paramount to you guys going into this two-week stretch here, one being a game that you don't have to win, and then obviously the bye week? Is getting those guys healthy really paramount for you guys right now?
Well, I think a couple things. First, I think most paramount is just that we continue to prepare and to play well. We want to be playing our best football going into the playoffs. So I think that's the most important. And obviously, it's really important for all of our players to be as healthy as they can be. And that's the advantage of not having to play wild card weekend, is you get an extra week to heal up. And I think that'll benefit all of our guys, not just the offensive line, but all of our guys. And so, we're going to play this game this week. We're going to approach it like a regular week, and then get some rest and start preparing for the divisional round. So, that's what you've earned when you get the number one seed, and we're going to take advantage of it.
Now, Mickey, looking on the defensive side of the ball, you've made this statement before that you got to have patience. It's not a 1 or 2 year process. You don't know when it's going to click. I know you brought up the Robert Meacham situation, but I'm looking at Von Bell and the confidence. I guess the past couple of games, Von Bell, you give him a game ball against Carolina. He was the leading tackler against the Steelers with 10 tackles. But overall, that has to be rewarding when you look at money well spent, whether it's a draft pick or even free agency. I want you to comment on a couple of things. Demario Davis, hopefully he continues to progress and be Jonathan Vilma Jr., the quarterback of the defense. I'll look at A.J. Klein. So just talk about the impact that the way the league is structured today, that it could be through the draft or free agency to truly put a defense together that is special.
Well, our approach has always been, look, we're going to turn over every stone to help our roster. And the three main ways you do that is you draft, you sign free agents, and you can make trades. And so, we've tried to do all three and get players through all three avenues. And, it is gratifying when that class, everybody talks about last year's draft class. But the class before with Mike Thomas and Sheldon Rankins and Von Bell and, those guys, all three, and David Onyemata as well, have all played really well. I think they've all taken a step forward this year. And when you have guys like that and you have, the younger players, Marcus Williams and Marshawn Lattimore, and you have, A.J. Klein, you mentioned, some other guys, DeMario, step in and do some good things. That's why, our defense has improved. And our coaches, I can't say enough about the great job they've done in a short period of time putting these guys in positions to be successful. But it takes, it takes everybody. It takes all 11. Actually, it takes all, 23, 24 defensive players that we have in order to have a good defense. I like the improvement that we've made over the course of the season.
Now, Mickey, is this good, I guess, for an individual player to be humbled and realize that you are a great player, but bringing it week in and week out? I'm looking at Antonio Brown and Juju Schuster. All of a sudden, you look at Marshawn Lattimore, you look at Eli Apple, who's actually come and produced for us. But then, listen, there's nothing wrong with you getting knocked down maybe a notch because look at Antonio Brown. To me, a Big Ben, 14 receptions, 185 yards. Schuster's 11 receptions, 115 yards. Obviously, you want to impact Big Ben. But to me, I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing when you're going against the best of the best, even going forward, considering when you're facing receivers like Antonio Brown and Juju Schuster, that being our secondary and our cornerbacks specifically?
Well, first of all, I don't think any player would say it's a good thing when the other player on the other team does something good against you. But look, the NFL, man, every team has talent. Every player is a really good player, and you are going to, sometimes they're getting paid too, so you're going to get beat sometimes. And, the mark of a good player, the mark of a great player is being able to, pick yourself up and just move on to the next play and do your job. And I think our guys have, they've done that, and they're learning that at the same time. And so that's been encouraging.
Saints Executive Vice President and General Manager Mickey Loomis. Mickey, thank you for being with us on Christmas Eve. We really appreciate it, man. Go spend some time with your family, and good luck this week against Carolina.
Yep, thank you, guys. Merry Christmas again, and we'll see you this weekend.
Thanks, Mickey.
Sounds good.